WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning again, everyone. It's the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Christina Greer, sitting in for Brian today. My next guest made history as the first Black woman to be a head writer for a late-night talk show when she had that job for The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central from 2015 to 2016. And soon, she'll have her own show, The Rundown with Robin Thede, a weekly satirical news show which will debut on BET this fall. Robin Thede is a writer, performer, and comedian, and she's here with me now. Hi, Robin. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, hey. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I feel like we have to start with a not funny clip. I'm sorry about that. But
not
I want to talk to you. I know. It's good because I can't wait to get into the show, The Rundown. But I want to play a clip of the president doubling down yesterday on his original and probably more heartfelt opinion on what took place over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. Here goes.
I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides. What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? I've condemned many different groups, but not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch. Those people were also there because they wanted to protest the taking down of a statue, Robert E. Lee.
So, it's hard to know what to say to this. The only time you should be surprised is when you're surprised, I guess. But he basically put white supremacists on a moral equivalent plane as everyone else who was there to protest and that hatred and racism in Charlottesville, Virginia. So what are you thinking today after all of this?
Well, I think it's not even that he elevated them morally. It's that he really tried to do what he's been doing, right? Which is demonizing Black Lives Matter, anybody who is just a regular human who doesn't want to be terrorized in their own country. I mean, that's really the biggest takeaway for me in this whole thing is like not what he's even, I'm not surprised that he's supporting white supremacists. He is one. So that doesn't shock me. But I think the thing that really bothers me and the thing that I'm really rallying against right now is that he's harming people who are already disenfranchised. These people are anti-Semites. These people are racist. They're sexist. They're homophobic. They're transphobic. They are the worst kind of people in society. And I know some people think, oh, well, these are the last gasps of these people who've been marginalized because their beliefs are so extreme. But I think we're seeing now that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of people in America who still side with Trump and who still say, yeah, Black Lives Matter is just as bad as these white supremacist terrorists. And they really believe it. And I think that's the rhetoric that gets us into trouble. Because at the end of the day, Black Lives Matter is coming out and saying, we don't want to be killed by people who are supposed to protect and serve us, period. It's not about, you know, what white people are doing wrong or what other people are doing wrong, because some of these cops that are killing us, too, are people of color. So mm-hmm. we're coming out and saying we need to be safe in our own communities. And Trump is coming out and saying that that's a terrorist movement. I think that's where we get into danger, is that he's redefining positive political movements that are just asking for mere safety and equal treatment and putting them on the same level as white supremacist terrorists who are out here saying Jews won't replace us and saying horrible things about Black people and saying horrible things about even Jared Kushner, who's Trump's son-in-law. You know, right. It's like they're not even loyal to Trump. So for him to come out and say these things and to really, really just be the rallying cry for these awful people is where we are in America, and people need to wake up.
So how do you think that groups like Black Lives Matter and all the different groups and organizers who are making up, you know, what we would call the resistance, how do you think they should respond to what happened in Charlottesville? And where do you think they should really focus their energy in a Trump era when they're dealing with a president who is unique, shall I say?
How should who respond? I'm sorry.
So groups like Black Lives Matter or groups that make up the resistance, you know, how should they respond to what happened in Charlottesville, and how should they focus their energy in a Trump era?
Well, we have been responding. We've been saying this. We've been saying, like, racism is driving people killing us. We've been saying it. So I don't know what more we're supposed to do, but I don't think the onus is on us. I think the onus is on Republicans and on white people who claim to be allies, or who on white people who claim to not be white supremacists, which I would garner is most white people. I think that's who it's up to at this point, because those are the people who got Trump in office, and those are the people who need to get him out. I don't think the onus can always... it's strange to me that the onus, and I don't think you feel this way, but I think it is true. I see it on social media and on the, in the media in general, that people think the onus is on the disenfranchised to somehow, you know, make those in power do right, which is, I guess, the history of the civil rights movement in this country, right? And the history of uprisings and political protesting is that the louder you are and the more you can affect change, then you can do that. But it's always coming, it's never coming from a position of power. We're having to overcome. I mean, with that famous song, "We Shall Overcome," we're having to overcome the people in power to even just get basic human rights. So I think the onus now in 2017, as Middle America and everybody from the coast, Middle America and everywhere, I'm from Middle America, so I don't say that pejoratively. I think, but it's time. It's not just a thing that's not happening in your community. This is your community. This country is your community. And at this point, we've just got to stand up. This is crazy.
Listeners, give us a call now if you have a question for Robin Thede, former head writer of The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore and soon to be host of her own late night show on BET, The Rundown, at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. If you have a question for Robin Thede about politics or the late night show landscape, where she was a trailblazer as the first black woman to be a head writer on one of these shows, give us a call now, 212-433-9692. So, Robin, I mean, You're laying it out. It's, you know, the onus isn't on the people who are being oppressed. It's now, you know, folks need to get their own people in line and start working towards a collective goal. So how hard is it to joke about some of this serious stuff? You know, police violence against people of color, racism, the violence we saw proudly on display in Charlottesville last weekend, the president. How do you and how will you strike that balance on your new show, The Rundown?
I think that we have a strong history of being able to laugh not only at ourselves, but also at the tragedies that we face. I think that's the strength of minorities, and particularly that's the strength of black people, in that we, our comedy is deep-rooted in, you know, we are the pioneers of comedy, right? You go back to Bob plays and you know, well, way before that, obviously, too, but we're the pioneers of this industry, and I think that we have always found a way to find humor even in the darkest of times, because we know we have to survive and we know we have to get through. And I think for me, you know, there's inherent comedy in the ridiculous surrounding the events, right? There's nothing funny in the events. And this is also our philosophy at The Nightly Show, but on my show too, it's like, first of all, when I look at this, I think of Charlottesville, I think of Charleston, and I'm just like, well, I'm not going to any place that starts with CHR. Like, watching movies with Charo in them. I'm not watching Charles Barkley sports clips. Like, anything that starts with CHAR sounds like a bad place to go at this point. No, but I think, you know, for us, I think it's about finding these ridiculous pundits that they love to trot out during times like this, who are trying to defend Trump, because that's laughable. I mean, to me, that's pure comedy. Anybody who would try to get on television and say, well, Trump didn't mean that. I know he said that you know, these weren't all white supremacists, and that's ridiculous. But what he was really trying to say, and I just love the mental gymnastics and the verbal gymnastics that these people have to go through to try to justify the ridiculousness of a murderous madman. And I think about, then there are serious moments, right? I think about the family of Heather Heyer and how her family when Trump should have been coming out and condemning, really actually condemning what had happened, and should have been coming out and saying, our thoughts and prayers are with the family. You know, and that phrase is so overdone, but at least he could have said that. Mm-hmm. And instead, he went on this tirade, this defensive, racist, anti-Semitic tirade that supports these people and emboldens them. And there's at least nine new rallies planned for this upcoming weekend.
Yes.
And I think there'll be more, because I think the president has come out and said, yeah, do it. You know, and he's creating this false narrative of the alt-left, which is not a thing. And he's creating these false equivalencies between supremacists and Nazis and terrorists with people who are legitimately just trying to protest for their right to live and exist in this country.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to take a brief break, and we're going to return with Robin Thede and answer some of the phone calls that are lighting up. Stay tuned, WNYC. In case you're just joining us, I'm Christina Greer, filling in for Brian Lehrer, and with me today is my guest Robin Thede, a writer, performer, comedian, and soon-to-be host of her own show, The Rundown with Robin Thede, on BET. Welcome back, Robin.
Hey.
So, what can we expect from The Rundown? So, how will it be different from the rest of the late-night shows, and when does it launch, and where can we find it?
Yes, it is on BET, Black Entertainment Television, in case you never knew what that acronym was.
I did, but just in case.
Of course you did. I don't think the official launch date is public, but we do have one, which is exciting.
Oh, well, you can just tell me. It's okay. I won't tell anyone.
Yeah. You're not going to give me that easy. We're going to premiere this fall, so it's really soon. And we are on Thursday nights. That has been made public.
Okay.
Think of what's been out there. Anyway, Thursday nights on BET this fall. It's really, really exciting. We'll have a premiere day like next week, so that won't be a secret much longer. The Rundown is what makes it different, obviously, is it's hosted by a black woman, which is exciting.
Yes.
That is super rare. And the first time we've ever had that in the late night landscape as far as political satire. Monique, Wanda, and Whoopi all had kind of talk variety shows.
Okay.
But no one's ever done it in this space, kind of. You know, I come from that Jon Stewart family, and, you know, really launching into political satire in that sense has never been done by a black woman. The other difference about the show, beyond the aesthetic and the point of view, is that we're doing politics and pop culture as it relates to black people. So, because we are on BET, we're going to be talking about the things that we care about, the things that we listen to. Like, there's just a fundamental difference, right? We don't have to tell black people that Trump is bad because we didn't vote for Trump. So, you know, we don't have to do
that. Right. 94% of black women voted for Hillary Clinton.
Did not vote for Trump. Right. So, you know, we don't have to do these, like, long deep dives into why Trump is bad. We may do more about, you know, Jeff Sessions and Betsy DeVos, because those people are affecting black communities much more so in some ways than Trump, as far as the day-to-day with education and mass incarceration and all of these sorts of things. But, you know, Trump is obviously bad. We just don't have to tell our audience that. The other thing is that this show is heavy with sketch comedy, with quick monologue jokes on politics and pop culture in the studio, and then we're doing these amazing doc pieces, these documentary kind of short films about social justice issues, also comedic in nature, but these kind of beautiful standalone pieces that you'll be able to share with your friends online that'll really kind of inform you about issues as they relate to black people. Because I think a lot of the news covers, you know, a lot of the mainstream news covers a lot of really great topics, but when it comes to how it affects our community, like, there are specific implications about climate change mm-hmm. that only affect black communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's things like that that we're going to talk about you just won't see on other shows. The other quick thing that we'll do is music. We're having a really cool way. I can't totally give it away because some of it's a surprise, but we are incorporating music into the show as well, performances from some amazing artists. So I'm really excited about the show.
So we'll basically have to have you back in a little bit when you can actually talk about some of the surprises. So you played a character on the Nightly Show called, quote, White House Creative Media Relations Branding Strategy Consultant Blue Jasmine Steeplechase. Will she reprise herself on your new show, and will she be rebranded for the Trump White House? Or does this new administration
I'm
require
sure
all
Central.
New characters and bits?
Yeah, all new characters and bits. Here's a little insider TV trivia. Whenever you do characters on SNL, Comedy Central, wherever, that network then owns those characters.
Oh, so you can't take them with you.
I cannot take them with me.
Okay.
So anything that lived on The Nightly Show will live there and rest in peace there. But yeah, we'll be doing all sorts of stuff. I'll definitely be playing characters. I'll be doing impressions and the sketches. And the sketches will be starting every show with a topical sketch that spoofs something from the week. So there's you will want to tune in from beginning to end, because if you miss the first 30 seconds, you're going to miss the thing that everybody's talking about the next day. So it's really exciting. It's only half an hour once a week. We're not asking for that much of a time commitment. We're also on after Shonda Rhimes shows end, so you have plenty of viewing to do on Thursday nights, but you won't miss any of her shows either, so that's an incentive.
Oh, that's even better. Yes, because back in the 80s, you know, there was always the competition problem where black shows would always air at the same exact time.
Okay. Still is. They still do it. Don't they put Empire and Blackish up against each other?
You know what? I'm not up on my network TV, but I will
yeah,
be.
They still
I will
do
be
it.
In the fall when you launch. We're going to take a call from David from Riverdale. David, welcome to WNYC.
Yes, thank you. I'm a well-educated, middle-aged white guy from the New York area, and I sort of grew up with the Civil War as being, you know, yeah, it was about heritage, yeah, it was about slavery and economics, and I sort of cut the Southerners a little slack on the heritage idea until an episode of The Nightly Show about 2 years ago that Robin was probably involved with about the Cornerstone Address. Which was a speech given by Alexander Stevens, the vice president of the Confederacy under Jefferson Davis. I'll just read one short part of it, that our government, the Confederacy, is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. And that, to me, ended any doubt in my mind about whether there was heritage or anything else like that. I had never heard of the Cornerstone speech, but to me that it was the foundation of the Confederacy and ends all arguments about why they should get to celebrate their heritage. It would just be like there should be a lot of good, proud Germans on this earth, but they should not have the right to be proud of a swastika.
So, Robin, what do you think about David's comments?
You couldn't be more right. Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. Go ahead, Christina. Sorry.
No. I mean, what do you think about David's comments from The Nightly Show, but also
David, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I remember the exact episode you're talking about. And those are the sorts of things we were able to shed light on. And I will continue to do as well. And you're exactly right. And I think Trump is the perfect example of somebody who has like a third grade education about the history of the country as far as it relates to slavery. Because the things he says are the things that we were taught in school early on. But if you went, you know, a little further and did some independent research, you know that it was, you know, this country was built on slavery, and that they're the only reason for that, for any of these things, really, is the inherent belief that other races are inferior to the white race, which is exactly what went on with Hitler. It's exactly why we had slaves here. And beyond that, I think at the end of the day, anybody who's saying you will not replace us and this is our country is also ignorant of history, because the Native Americans, I'm sure, have a lot more to say about that. This was never white people's country to begin with. It's crazy to me that they've, you know, that it's like now this is ours. You know, I think we should all be a little sensitive to that. And I think we should all be sensitive to the fact that we've come here to live together as Americans, and that racism and bigotry and sexism and all that stuff just has no place.
Right. In case you're just joining us, I'm Christina Greer filling in for Brian Lehrer, and Robin Thede is my guest right now, writer, performer, comedian, and soon-to-be host of The Rundown with Robin Thede on BET. Robin, I've read that your mom is a state rep in your home state of Iowa, and I'm curious just to how much, if any, her job influences your politics and sort of how you're going to approach your new show, The Rundown.
Oh, a lot. My mother and I are very close, and my mother, you know, is from south side of Chicago and went to school in Iowa, met my dad and stayed there, and has gotten really involved. She was the first black woman to be elected to the House from her district. She is, you know, so I have a bunch of cool firsts, but, you know, I come from firsts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the only way we know how to do things. But yeah, no, my mom and I talk about politics all the time, and she was really responsible for passing marriage equality legislation in Iowa, as one of the first states to do that. You know, she's in her fifth term, I think. She's been responsible for a ton of legislation. She helped get Barack Obama elected working with the DNC in Iowa on the ground early days of the Obama campaign. His first campaign, and she's my hero. She's my role model, and her politics are my politics for the most part, and we definitely have really interesting conversations about it. But she does give me insight because she knows things that go on, you know, behind the closed doors, and mm-hmm. she knows intimately the roadblocks, especially the Democrats are fighting right now.
So, Robin, we're going to have to leave pretty soon, but besides being an executive producer, a trailblazer, you're a hire of women women and people of color and writers of color, diversifying their ranks. Really briefly, besides obviously having talent and ambition, what advice do you have for aspiring comedy writers and performers?
I think you've got to get to know the people who are doing what you want to do and forge a path like they have. I think for me, I didn't have any women of color in the late night space as role models.
Thank you so much,
Goldberg
Robin.
Goldberg was my closest.
Thank you so much. We're going to have to leave it there today. But my guest has been Robin Thede.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Robin, writer, performer, comedian, soon to be host of The Rundown with Robin Thede on BET. Robin, thank you again. I'm Christina Greer, and for Brian Lehrer, I'll be back tomorrow.